This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 25th of November, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green on this Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you, Mr. Sawyer. I miss you all week.
Why?
Because I wanted to put on my Rauenscheid all week, but I can't put on my Rauenscheid until I see you. In fact, I saved the best row of the week for you.
Which would be...
football versus football. Which one is better?
Football versus soccer, you mean?
No, football versus football.
Listen, I grew up on soccer. I grew up calling it football.
First of all...
football always was Sunday or Monday.
Because us Americans think that we are special, right?
Yes.
We took the word football and said we're going to name our own sport football. Because we don't like that. I thought I was like around the revolutionary time. And the Americans say to the British, okay then, you don't like us? Well, we're going to take the name football and we're going to put it to a different sport, then run hard then. And so, the first point in the debate is American football cannot be the best because they thief the name football from the rest of the world.
Well, it was football back then, if we can be, you know, politically correct. Fine, yeah, all right. It's the most watched sport in the world. It's currently being watched by 8 billion people right now, as is, you know, as with the World Cup. But I'm one of the, I don't know, other millions who ain't watching it. Not yet, you know. I'm going to wait for the semifinals and the finals, because these games just, you know, like it's just round-robin play. For the time being, and you
the
have,
first round, right?
Yeah, World Cup. And you have bunch of upsets right now, or whatever.
Isn't that something? First of all, Japan beat Germany for the first time
ever
on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Germany is still my team that I believe can win it all. Right?
You think so?
Yeah, because they have a complete team.
Okay.
There's no star on their team.
Saudi Arabia beat Argentina 2-1. Another historic win.
Mm-hmm. Messi hit a goal, I think.
Yeah.
He hit one goal and
Argentina got a fight. They have a history, right? Like, so I appreciate sports become cultural. Argentina serious about the football.
Yeah, they are, but the last time they won a World Cup was in the days of Diego Maradona.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. They get serious. They lost
30 plus years.
Look here, they lost a World Cup. And apparently one of their players, on his arrival into the country, was assassinated, right? And we know that the Arabic countries, they take their sports seriously too.
Yeah, I mean, nothing has to do with it. Like, yeah.
Like, watch this. I bugged three young Bahamians at jollification. Three handsome by them. I'm trying to sell things, right?
Right.
And so I've got to say shout out to Ryan Reckley, who's playing with the San Francisco Giants baseball. And Dax Stubbs, who playing with the Baltimore Orioles baseball. And Anthony McKenzie, who is currently at TNLX Academy in Orlando. All three of them playing baseball. You know what I tell them? I say, look here, you can go out there and you can play hard, right? But understand that the country you come from, the people who love you and support you and cheering you on, they do not want you to kill yourself or permanently injure yourself.
For the sake of sports.
And for the sake of representing the country. You are a valuable citizen no matter how you contribute. You know what I'm saying? Especially on the heels of Jazz's injury. Because
exactly. You don't want to see anything else happen to anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we take these sports seriously to the point where the country is building a sports tourism portfolio, spending millions and millions of dollars in creating the infrastructure to attract sporting events, athletes, and the technical staff that could also help us build our various leagues, right, and build capacity. We're spending plenty of money on it, but no Bahamian athlete should go out there thinking that they have to risk hurting themselves, injuring themselves permanently to represent or defend the Bahamas. Which takes me to another quick NBA story, Mr. Sawyer.
Yeah.
NBA suspends Lakers Patrick Beverley for 3 games without pay for forcefully shoving Phoenix Suns center DeAndre Ayton from behind and knocking him to the court.
I support Pat Beverley for that. And yeah, I mean, he knocked over a good Bahamian boy. But if you have to... Last week, the Suns played the Warriors, right?
Yeah.
And Ayton had Steph Curry on him.
Yeah.
Guarding him. And you know, he decided he was going to turn around and take a 12-foot jumper while he had Steph Curry on him. He's supposed to back the little boy down. Because, you know, at that point, 7 feet versus 6'3", you're supposed to back the little boy down in the post and take the shot you want, not take the shot that he, quote-unquote, allowing you to take, you know. And, you wasn't big and bad then. Now, you wouldn't stand up over a man that you hit to the ground anyway in the first place. Him and Booker stand up and you lean up over him. Yeah, boy, stop doing that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
DeAndre knocked somebody down?
Yeah, man, he fouled, what the white boy name?
Was it intentional?
Austin Reeves. Yeah, man. It was a play at the rim, and boom, okay, he fouled him. Now, you want to stand up over him like you named Shaq or something. But listen, you know you got to play a little harder around this place.
Right. It's like
you know you're still not reached your full potential.
I questioned if it warranted a 3-game suspension, right, until they said that the decision was partly based on prior behavior off the court. So you're telling me DeAndre Ayton was in there just being a good church boy, minding his P's and Q's, and he get pushed down for no reason? He know why he get pushed down.
You know why he get pushed down. That's why he ain't nothing to say.
Well, I mean, I could appreciate that. That's a good Bahamian move, but you know why you get slapped. You don't say nothing, but I sorry, or say nothing at all. So listen, the reason why all of this was interesting as well is because I found this other story. In that game, right, I think it's that same game, Lakers' Anthony Davis turns in historic performance. That's the same game, right?
That's the same, yeah.
Because I figured that's why Beverly was upset. Davis finished the night with 37 points, 21 rebounds, 5 steals, 5 blocks in the Lakers' 115-105 loss to the Phoenix Suns. Now, why this is historic? This is the best stat, right? These are the best stats since they officially started recording blocks and steals in 1973. So I get the impression that Curry was with the guy Beverly, Patrick Beverly, was just stressed out. He's just upset. He's mad they losing and he can't get the ball because Anthony Davis got all the ball all the time. Anthony Davis had to have the ball all the time to score like that.
Well, I know. Patrick Beverly ain't somebody that needs the ball, you know.
Okay.
He's a defensive-minded type of guy. Yeah. He's the thorn in the side. He's like the Dennis Rodman. He's like the Rick Fox. He's the Rick Mahorn of a team, you know. He's the guy that, you know, gets under the skin of the opposing players.
Yeah.
If he scores, great. If he doesn't, great. You know, no biggie.
I got you.
And,
Could it be frustration for, now, I can be honest. I have a
he was just doing that to stand up for his teammate. I said, like, don't stand up over my, don't do that to my fallen teammate who's on the ground. You didn't slap him in the face. It was a foul. Yeah, you know, like you swing looking for the block and you miss. And if you miss, you end up hitting my teammate in the face, which you did. He on the ground after being slapped by a 7'1" guy. He on the ground trying to catch himself and you can stand up over him like you, like you're Thanos or something. Like, well, you get pushed on.
I got you. I still believe Patrick is... stress out. The Lakers are at number 14. Right now, as of this week...
the team don't have no shooters.
They're at 5-11. Right? And then, another story coming out of the NBA. The NBA has had a massive shift in the rules, right? So I found this article. Anybody interested? Early stats on take fouls and bench decorum rule changes.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I've been around now about 2 years.
Right. So when...
This year. Yeah.
When a defender eager to snuff a transition opportunity. Right now, I used to play defense. I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, but you're taking the intentional foul.
The fast break is opening up in front of you, and you know you don't got the fast, and you can't make the break.
Yeah, you about to get on the poster.
Right, so you step out, and you stop somebody, and you stop the play. I used to do that. Not to injure anybody, but I had a nice big frame. I could do that, right? So I could appreciate why they want to take that out of the game.
Yeah, because it slows down the game, man. It slows down the highlights all because y'all didn't want to get back on defense.
But is this a part of making the game softer? Is that what they're doing? That why somebody like Beverly is upset, right? Like the idea that a big guy like Aiden could sort of get away with that kind of loose attack on a player, but his players ain't getting the same type of treatment. Smaller players not getting the same type of treatment. Like, we expect a big man to be big in a little while, but we expect a small man to deal with the big man far tighter, far more restricted in his engagement. I get frustrated with that, too. You can't be policing me, the small man, and letting the big man go wild.
Yeah, well, I mean, to each his own. I just know full well that you have certain players in the NBA that are known as enforcers.
Yeah.
You know, they enforce the rules on their own team, and they ain't going to allow you to break it against their team as well.
I got you. So, I feel like at 14, though, right? So I okay with that. I don't like the idea that he got a 3-game suspension. Okay, they're saying it's prior behavior. But I could appreciate...
Yeah, because he almost broke Chris Paul back 2 years ago in the playoffs. He pushed Chris Paul so hard.
Yeah.
And when the Clippers was about to... He was playing with the Clippers back then. They were about to get beat from the Suns.
Yeah.
You know, that was the year the Suns went on to the finals.
Could this be the moment that the Lakers turn it around? Right? I could see Patrick. I see that energy. You got to get your team on fire. In fact, you got to take them back to the days of Charles Barkley. Right? I remember Charles Barkley cussing off the rest of his team.
Oh, yeah. Charles Barkley, Thunder Dan, Marley, Kevin Johnson, Frank Johnson.
I was on a boat coming back. I think we were coming back from summer camp, Camp Simonette in Eleuthera, right? Watching the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles Barkley row everybody on his team. He rowed. I'm sure he tell them, look here, all the pot belly I have and y'all can't score more than me. Could this be the turnaround for the Lakers?
If they could get a shooter or two, that would greatly help.
And nobody because, on their team know, could like, step it up?
But LeBron is the best shooter on the team. And LeBron ain't no big shooter.
Because look here, the Kings, remember about 3 weeks ago, the Kings, the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Lakers, they were all resting right down in the bottom tier of the Western Conference. The Kings are now at 5.
I know.
10 and 7. Clippers at 6, 11 and 8. Warriors even up a little bit. They ain't pushing above their weight.
Yeah, they win one, lose two, win two, lose three. They just doing what they want to do right now.
They're just chilling.
Yeah, I mean since the whole, you know, Draymond incident.
Yeah.
They're still trying to catch themselves, you know, because most and the only reason why they're trying to catch themselves or why they're having to make it look like that is because it was filmed.
Yeah.
Because many past stars of the NBA said that fights happen all the time. In the locker room, on the court, but it was never filmed.
Well, it's filmed. It was never released. And that's the thing. We know it's filmed, right? Yeah. It was never released.
Yeah.
And that could cause a lot of frustration.
And that's probably what it is, you know. Fellas, Jordan Poole feeling a little shame because he got punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Draymond feeling a little shame because now he looked like a bully. Like, he looked like a guy that understand that young people are on the way up. Because 7 years ago, you was the young person on the team.
Yeah.
You know, won your first championship. And you know, and you was looking for respect from people like Andre Iguodala. You know, like you wanted some respect from him.
Yeah. And you're not a LeBron. You can't just stand up and demand you can't put on gun and pants and stand up and demand respect.
Exactly.
Yeah, you ain't there yet.
I saw LeBron wear a short pants suit to the NBA Finals in 2008.
See, this is what we ain't talking politics, right?
Above the knee.
We ain't talking politics, but I just wish somebody had decided to put together a short pantsuit. That's all I'm saying. So look here, let's finish up with the, well, I don't know if we're going to finish up, but let's get into the other rankings. So the Suns, our boy, Aiden, is number one in the Western Conference.
That's correct.
They're at 11-6. In the Eastern Conference, the Celtics are confidently holding the number one spot.
Yeah, man. They had an 8 or 9 game winning streak. It was snapped the other night. The Bulls beat them, Monday night.
Yeah.
And then they won again on Wednesday night.
Push the Bucks down to number two. Pacers are at 5 with 10-7. They've had a great improvement since last week. And Hornets still sitting at number 14. And all I want to say to Kai, whenever you feel inside and depressed like these, boy, them wouldn't give you no court time. Maybe y'all would be doing better if you got more court time. Go look at the Lakers in the Western Conference at number 14. They got LeBron and can't push past number 14. You all right.
Yeah.
You just keep focusing, training.
Yeah.
Right? Just keep.
Yeah, LeBron playing tonight.
Just keep training, keep playing.
They playing the Spurs tonight.
And you would be all right. The Hornets at 14 with 5-14. A reason this story stick with me, these stories stick with me this morning is I still sort of upset about how we missed the FIBA qualifications. Right? How we missed the qualifications for the Olympics.
Boy, I tell you, boy.
Because the team's performance without its quote-unquote star players, right, was so close. They did so well that I know with certainty that if we had had Kai, Aiden, Buddy, if we had had our two NCAA players, and if we had had our European League players, right, the various leagues, Spain, France, Turkey, if we had had these guys all on the court, we were definite qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to figure out, right, how do we coordinate this? How do we coordinate a program where us are the small island state players can come back right from the game? Or do we say at the organizational level that, look, we need to figure out how to organize these tournaments, the qualifying tournaments in particular, off season, right? That's what we got to do, because smaller countries like ours are unduly penalized because of the balance of our resources.
Yeah.
Right? And I would lobby for it, right? If I'm in any regional or international sporting association, I begin lobbying for that, and I call all my regional partners together that, look, we got to figure out how we could maximize our capacity by ensuring our star players are available to play with us.
So this means then the only time that our star players can play with us is from the middle of June till about the third week in October.
Well, that's what we got to do.
So you're saying basically
because
three and a half months.
Right? The tension is it's their presence in these professional leagues that help build capacity for the team. So you don't want to say to them, you can't play over there if you want to play for us. That model doesn't work. We got to figure out how to enable them to get that experience.
Uh-huh.
And then be able to come home and play for us when it matters most, right?
Yeah, which means then you only have the summer, really. You got to get it done in the summer.
Right, but I think...
That way all teams are clicking, because, you know, you have other teams that have players in the NBA as well.
Exactly.
Greece, you know, have the Greek freak.
Right, and these are the things that have sharpened or increased the chances of reaching the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we should come together regionally, and then as small island states.
This is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and put that on the table, and I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Another little bit of politics in sports. You know, last week I just mentioned Jack Warner from Trinidad had a Privy Council ruling.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go and answer to the decisions he made in FIFA, right? Well, about essentially who going to get to host the World Cup.
Yeah.
And when I was reading the notes, he made this point. He said, look here, countries like Qatar and Russia, who haven't had a chance, I think, well, I'm inferring this, haven't had a chance to host before, they deserve a chance to host. I was talking to a real soccer fan yesterday. I used to play soccer fan. And he said, you know, one of the advantages that the African countries, the Arabic countries, countries from the global south have at this World Cup is they play in temperatures that they used to.
Correct.
They got the Miami Dolphin policy, right? Win all our games in our best environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been interesting. And I wonder if those political decisions at that upper level have really dictated World Cup victories, right? By sort of marginalizing countries who are not prone, used to the environments that World Cups are usually played in.
Well, the World Cup, well, I mean, any soccer game, you have about maybe 200 news reporters and cameras there.
Yeah.
Any soccer match you go to. Imagine the World Cup, there's about 2,000.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just ballooned times yeah. 10. And for those smaller countries that may not be accustomed to the bright lights of what the World Cup would represent, it can be a bit daunting. Not to say that they can't, you know, overcome it, but it's gonna take either a veteran on the team or a coach to say, look, for me, between these white lines, nothing else matters. Don't mind the flash bulbs going off. Don't mind the talk. You concentrate on that little white ball.
Yeah. And it's not just the cameras. There's extreme racism in football.
Oh, yeah.
And so for African players who have been...
And then there's no liquor in Qatar.
But listen, first of all, that was the biggest story.
Yeah, but fellas sneaking it in, you know, like they wrapping up Heineken cans with Coke, with a Coca-Cola wrap.
Yeah.
And they found, but a case.
But listen, you got to thank the Japanese for that. You see the Japanese culture, they export their culture everywhere. Listen, like the, so that's what was fascinating. While people from the global north, people from countries who drink, were complaining that there was no alcohol served, allowed in the stadium. There were even LGBTI people and supporters complaining that they were being denied entry with particular rainbow logos
right? Yeah, Qatar have a serious 20th century policy.
But, and we're going to say this. Their culture is their culture. They're very upfront about it, mm-hmm. and they do a great job of preparing you to be a visitor to their country, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can't wear certain things, your shoulders can't show.
So while some people were upset about their inability to import their culture into Qatar, the Japanese continued this tradition they have where they clean up, the fans clean up the stadium before they leave. And after particularly the Japanese game where there were tons of Japanese fans, those guys stayed behind and cleaned up the stadium as if they worked there.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to take pride in your surroundings.
Right. And
that's a part of the mandate. Like, if you come to the game, take your garbage with you.
And that reminded me of Bahamians, right? Our culture is one of ambassadorship. You know, we represent our country wherever we go. We attempt to be dignified. We move with integrity, and we're friendly and helpful. Right? And Bahamians export that culture. We take that with us wherever we go. And that made me happy for a moment to read that story. Uh-huh. You know, and as we are developing a sports tourism model here, it's very important that we focus on that element as much as the other elements, right?
Truth.
We're welcoming people to our country. We're a tourist destination. So I think it's fine to say, look here, this is who we are. Uh-huh. You're a tourist. Here are the spaces where you could do what you want to do when you come on vacation. And here are the spaces that
where
we ask you to behave in a certain way. And you put up signs, there are billboards all over the place, right?
And that's it.
And we welcome you. We will create a space for you to gallivant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Right? That's what you want to do. Right there, you do it there.
Right. And we ask you to be respectful of the other
outside
spaces,
right?
Right? And when you interact with people who you are obviously aware, A, on your run...
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You act accordingly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So don't be asking people if they could sell you weed to us when you come. Don't do that. Don't see a boy sitting on the side of the road and just assume everybody is selling weed.
Hey, man, do you have a weed on you?
Right?
Like, what?
But listen, I can train my people. You'd say, listen, dear sir, I have not one weed left. I'm so sorry. You say it just like that and keep it moving. But some great news coming out of the World Cup. Ghana lost to Portugal, you know.
Oh,
But they performed. I mean, they played, man. 3-2. They lost 3-2.
Yeah,
but they
riveting
played.
Edge of your seat.
And then Brazil beat Serbia 2-0. That's just some highlights.
That's why I can wait until the World Final, the World Cup Final, probably the semifinals.
Who do you think going?
Because Germany. But these games are quite like riveting, edge of your seat, blah 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 blah, and the score is 1-0. Such a beautiful game.
Okay, let's get back to Rowan football. I could get on you with that because I just saw that the 49ers beat the Cardinals 38-10.
Boom.
Yeah, you don't know what 1-0 mean. You don't know why these people flinging each other into the air because their team won 1-0.
Right.
I got you.
You know, all game, like you lose on penalty kicks.
All right, so let's get into some NFL.
Speaking of which, but the Cowgirls won yesterday. Yeah, they won. Yeah, they won in the Thanksgiving Day game.
So
they were supposed to win. I mean, the Giants had 7 starters out. I don't understand why the game was so close in the first place. Well, I do know why, because the first half they didn't play. Like they basically was just out there, you know, they still filled with ham and turkey.
Yeah.
I get that. And in the second half, they came out and did what we all knew they were supposed to do. You were supposed to beat, although the Giants have a good record, they're now 7-4.
Right.
You were supposed to be the team down 7 starters.
Cowboys played the 4:30 game, right?
Yeah.
And Lions and Bills played that first game of the day.
Yeah.
Vikings and Patriots played the last game of the day.
That
so I agree with you. If I was playing on Thanksgiving Day, I won the first game of the day. I won't play. I won't wake my belly. And then I won't go get in that ice bath and serve me my turkey dinner in the ice bath.
I need that. I haven't worn that. I need that.
So in the first three games of week 12, Thanksgiving Day games, Lions versus the Bills. Bills beat the Lions 28-20.
Boy, that was a serious pass from Josh Allen. They was down. Score was tied, actually.
Yeah.
You see, 30 seconds left in the game. Josh Allen steps up to this first down and 10 from their 25. Steps up and throws up. Like, everybody know the ball game to Stephon Diggs. Everybody knows that. Stephon Diggs is triple team, and he still caught the ball. Got down. Next play was Josh Allen scrambled for 10 yards. So now it's 5 seconds left in the game. Field goal kick again. Kick the field goal to take a 26 or 27 yarder. Game over.
Yeah.
Game over. Just like that. Like the Lions have been in so many good games this year.
Yeah.
And they always lose. It's always right a one possession loss.
Darn.
Like they ride there from being a superstar.
That hurt me.
Their record is not indicative of their level
play.
Of play.
Yeah. Right. It's like politics here. You got to understand the system.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you get 35-4 don't mean you got 75%, 80%
of the vote.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. So Cowboys, Giants, 28-20. So look here, the Bills and the Dolphins are sharing the top of their division, right?
Yeah, well, the Dolphins currently have a half-game lead based on the tiebreaker because they played earlier this year when the Bills lost to the Dolphins. Dolphins didn't beat the Bills. I don't want none of y'all Saudi fans to believe y'all beat the Bills. Y'all didn't beat nobody.
I just asking, who is at the top?
Dolphins, right? Are currently at
okay,
the top.
Okay, good, good. That's all I need to know. Dolphins were in their bye week. They took a break.
Yeah.
To needed
need
it.
To keep good.
But the question
just go.
But the question is, will the bye week hurt or help the Dolphins? Can they come out with the same fire after a week off? It's colder now everywhere. It's cold in Florida.
Yeah, well,
maybe they needed that week of play to keep their engines burning.
Well, no, I mean, not necessarily. They needed a week of play to rest, you know?
Yeah.
Health-wise, you know, I'm familiar with no Saudi and players like that.
That's
but
okay.
I know one
don't
or two of them
it.
Was injured, you know, and ain't nothing better than, you know, being able to put your foot up.
I don't think
get some treatment.
I don't think
back.
The Dolphins used to 7-3 this late in the season. So all us on unsteady ground.
Yeah, all us on unsteady ground.
Yeah,
no, but they have to come see us though. December 4th. They playing us.
All right. Let me get through the rest of the scores for week 11. Colts versus Eagles. Eagles beat our boy Michael Strawn 17-16.
Yep,
1 point.
Last second touchdown.
Darn, I upset about that.
Last second
Eagles,
touchdown.
Though, Eagles are the best team in the whole league right now, right?
Record-wise, nine and one. Yeah.
They look very good on the field.
They look very good if you like a game that comes down to the wire. The Eagles
that's the only way American football could be as exciting as football, soccer, is if the games go down to the wire.
Yeah.
That's where the fire is.
Correct.
Right? Okay, so Cowboys, Vikings in week 11 last week. Cowboys beat the Vikings 40-3.
But you ever see? Like, the Vikings have the best wide receiver over the last 3 years, and y'all fellas scored 3 points against the Cowgirls.
What happened? They tried a running game on the Cowboys.
I don't know what happened. Like, they just basically threw up a duck egg all game.
Steelers versus Bengals. Bengals beat the Steelers 37-30. Chiefs versus Chargers. Chiefs 30-27.
I saw the last three or four plays of that game.
Yeah.
But Patrick Mahomes is no joke.
Yeah.
He's no joke.
They were supposed to win the Super Bowl last. Yeah.
He ain't really beat. Like, you got to beat him. The clock got to say 0.00.
Yeah, in fact, you got to play overtime and still win.
Jesus.
All right, so looking into week 12, the rest of the week, Dolphins versus Texans, Buccaneers versus Browns, 49ers are playing the Saints. Chiefs playing the Rams. That's the game to watch right there, I think. Chiefs versus Rams. And if Rams can't beat the Chiefs in this game, I think the Rams season is over.
But the Rams season already over. They're 3-7.
They ain't repeating nothing.
They 3-7, the Rams season.
No, but I mean even their feelings. Like, even their feelings ain't gonna survive.
Yeah,
the season.
like the season over. They had a good year last year. Yeah,
and it would suggest that last year was a fluke of positioning, you know?
You know.
All right, Chiefs are gonna play the Rams, and Colts are going to play the Steelers.
Monday Night Football.
Absolutely. Now, yeah. Mr. Sawyer, I get plenty, plenty local news, man.
Yeah, I see.
Plenty, plenty local sports. First of all,
I see. You got plenty.
I got to say happy birthday to some people.
Who's that?
I got to say happy birthday to my cousin, Lisa Hanna.
Okay.
She gets a happy birthday. It's belated now.
Happy,
but I say
happy
it
belated
for sports
cake and
day
ice cream day.
Because she's a runner.
Okay.
Not like a runner. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
She's a proper runner. In fact, she, as soon as the Prime Minister say, open your doors, boom, she's out there running. Right? She's I want to say she's a proud member of the running community. She's proud of her peers, her colleagues.
Good.
She's a nurse. She's dedicated to running, to supporting her team, and she loved the road. And so I just want to say to all of the people like me who, when the door open and you heard that song by Johnny Cake say, Jess Road?
Yeah.
We are not like her. She put her foot on the road rode.
No, we put our feet on the road too to get to the car.
And then just pew, pew. Uh-huh. She's a real runner. Happy birthday. I want to say happy belated birthday to Margot Blackwell as well. And there are a number of people whose names I miss, but I need you all to know everybody was celebrating your birthday with you.
They got plenty of birthday out there, boy.
Even if you didn't share no cake.
Was that shade that you didn't get no cake yet? Was that shade?
Nobody. Oh. I know you eat the piece of cake your mommy put aside for me. I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. Listen, the greatest sport in the world is about to begin. Junkanoo tickets are on sale starting December 3rd, 2022. Don't forget to get your Junkanoo tickets.
Well, listen, I want me a little Rawson Square boy this year. Junkanoo going to be so good this year.
Yeah?
Yeah, boy. We're not Junkanoo in 3 years. I mean, you have a little practice and a little holiday rush outs, but you ain't see costumes and
listen,
bellas. And
you buy in Junkanoo tickets? You know what I buy in?
What's
scaffolding.
That?
That's what I buy, scaffolding.
Yeah,
I make my own
scale when Bill Lillen sit up there.
In fact, I sell in Junkanoo tickets.
Yeah.
I mean,
To come sit on your scaffolding.
Yeah, not to go to Junkanoo, just to come sit on my scaffolding.
Yeah.
The other one would be illegal.
Right.
You guys know how to do this.
Right.
Just for scaffolding. I don't care what you see.
Right, you're just selling seats.
There you go. Is that some music? It's time to go to the break? Oh, yeah. This is the second biggest sport in the Bahamas. This is Avi and Swing. I mean, dancing and having a good time. That's what I mean, Mr. Sawyer.
Okay, good. Most importantly.
Yeah. I was having a bad driving this morning. I was very frustrated. And then I met three American rappers outside the studio, some young by them, right?
Oh, okay. I
changed my spirit altogether.
I thought you met some people who was in town.
Yeah, no, some rappers, actually. I think Zoe Dollar and Bankroll.
Oh.
Young, but I had to remind them I'm old. I probably forget their name by the time I come upstairs.
I don't know.
But they changed my mood and I say, well, I can't play American music on the Bahamian Sports Friday.
Yeah.
So we're going to play some Avi to go to the break.
Good.
When we come back from the break, we're going to dive into the local sports news. Plenty to talk about. These young people have been impressing us all week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Everybody out and swing, 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 swing,
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on this Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. Mr. Sawyer,
hey.
The producer on your team. Obviously, yeah. He feels like
you
American
feel like
football.
Need to talk about football, yes. Yeah, it makes more sense.
It's two to one, it don't matter. I still pull in for football. But let me tell you why I pull in for football.
Why? Because it's the beautiful game.
Because I done scored goals in football. I scored goals as a goalie.
You never scored touchdowns in football?
No, I never. In fact, the only thing I used to play football with, you remember the Albury boys from QC?
Yeah.
Kyle, I watched, they're not the oldest, the second, three of them. Three amazing athletes. When I was in high school, QC Comets with them, I mean three amazing athletes. And we were playing touch football on the field one day. And the third brother, I can't remember his name, this boy jumped in the air so high to catch a ball. I say almost certain he jumped over somebody's head, like he's above their head catching the ball. And I just realized in that moment that I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I didn't worry about it.
Let it go.
Yeah. But I mean, that was impressive. I played field hockey. I played soccer. I played netball, like varsity, right? In the Bahamas, in the UK. A little experience in rough contact sport, you know, but not football.
Okay.
And I don't know if my ankles are strong enough for flag football with these young people now.
Yeah, you got to get in shape before you go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to get in shape. You have to consult your doctor and your insurance agent before you go on that field.
Before you get in shape.
Yeah. You have to get in shape to train for that sport.
Yeah.
And that's the type of culture we're talking about inculcating if we're going to be serious about sports. You get in shape to go eat. You do some little exercise before you get up out your bed to go to the kitchen to go eat. You guys stretch your tongue. You guys stretch your fingers. You got
to
You got
to start them in the front of the fridge door and stretch your whole body.
Right.
Say, what in here?
That's the way that athletes operate, right? And we got to get our people thinking like that. Even with this story, the Island Royale is back. Gameheads is partnering with Fusion Superplex, the Bahamas Esports Federation, and the Elite Kickspot for another esports event now featuring Guilty Gear Strive, along with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Once again, we're looking to find out who is the best in the Bahamas to sign. Oh, so sign up early in the Gameheads Discord to secure your place to compete for over $1,000 in prizes and more.
Now, that's fellas playing game, you know.
Video game.
PlayStation.
This is what I was about to say. Yeah. So their parents, right? Make your children stretch before they play the video game.
Yes.
Make them take 20-minute breaks. Understand that they can't take a break in a live online game, though.
Yeah, no, you got to make a circle. You know,
right, you got to wait.
Yourself, you got to wait.
So a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right? But when they wake up in the morning, make them exercise for 30 minutes, make them do schoolwork for 30 minutes, then let them play they little e-sport for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Everything requires preparation.
By the way.
Yeah.
You know, Sock got beat yesterday.
Listen, I'm not saying that I have the story.
But you have the story.
Yeah, Crusaders pummeled Sock. They won the best of three series, 2-1, claiming their third softball championship in Crusaders history. But yeah. I really didn't want to read the story. I just wanted to read the headline. You know why I didn't want to read the story? It gets better. In the junior girls division, Sac swept the Queens College Comets.
They cheat, as always. They cheat.
I mean...
They cheat. That's that.
In the junior boys division, QC swept the Temple Christian Sons 2-0.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I don't like this. Because now I can't say to you, but your team wasn't even here. I can't even say... We can't even row. No. And in the senior girls divisions, the Crusaders swept QC 2-0. And so, Sac, you lost one, but you won one.
Yeah, well, you know, they lost one and cheat for one.
Yeah, and QC,
properly.
You lost two, but you got there.
Yeah.
You lost two, but you got there. There, Sac, y'all continue winning so we could continue complaining, please. We appreciate it. St. Fleur scores winning goal for the Bahamas, improves to 2-0. The Bahamas senior men's national beach soccer team improved to a 2-0 win loss in the Central American and Caribbean sea and beach games on Tuesday. They took down Mexico 2-1.
Yeah, they played in Colombia.
Yeah, there are 650 athletes, 26 countries. Listen, swimming, beach wrestling, open water swimming, surfing, beach volleyball, beach rugby, handball, skateboarding, and tennis. Dear Bahamas, we need people, open water swimming.
Open water
Remember
swimming.
I tell you I was an open water floating champion?
Yeah.
We supposed to have people in the open water swimming category. And if I am not mistaken, I found a story about Ellie Higgs. She was in Colombia. She competed in the ILCA 6 at the Beach and Sea Games, which is a regatta race, right? So she's there for sailing. And she came fourth.
Excellent.
Dear Bahamas Sailing Association, when you got a big story like that, call the Guardian.
Maybe we could put it on the front page.
Yes, man. Because I was just about to say in the story, we got to send more people because there are more disciplines we could compete in. How come the Bahamas can't compete in beach wrestling?
I mean, like, we always dashing anyway.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. That's our national sport.
Exactly. Beach wrestling. Man, that's us.
Please put it together. Brian Beckford, get your martial arts people together and let's get this wrestling team on the go. And Ellie Higgs, congratulations.
Yeah, man. Congratulations to her. She did well.
All right. The BSAA Volleyball Championships crowned... at the Bird Grant, at the Tom Bird Grant in Yellow Elder. I'm going to need y'all to go to the Tribune to read the rest of that story. It was too much to put down, but it was a best of three volleyball championships on Tuesday. BCA Chess Federation is having a meeting at 3 p.m. on Sunday at the J. Whitney Pinder Building. Y'all go be at that meeting. Bahamas makes history at the Optimums. Right? Remember, we had the Optimums this weekend at Montague, and two of our young sailors, Zane Monroe, he placed 35th overall, and Patrick Tomlinson placed 41st overall out of 155 sailors and out of 19.
Which means they did very well.
They did extremely well.
They were in the top quarter.
And look here, so that's why people are pushing for sloop sailing and sailing to be the national sport, right? On the other hand, we have got the prestigious Caribbean Baseball Cups set to start on the December 4th, right? And I think they're having a senior league tournament come in. And the Governor General says he envisions baseball returning as the number one sport in the Bahamas. This is the tension that I like. When you got two sports that are so prolific in your country and
rising,
your culture, that you got to fight over which one's supposed to be the national sport.
Well, I already say make it basketball. Let's move on.
I mean, and the performance at the latest round of the qualifiers suggests that that's...
Yeah, we're on the up and up, yeah.
A movement of the future, which is why we may have to jump on it now to ensure that we could take our sport in the globe. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I didn't really get a chance to get into all of these stories, but there are 5 basketball tournaments happening between Bahama and Atlantis over the last week.
They are. It's crazy.
Bahama Hoops, Bahama Pink Flamingo Championships, and Battle for Atlantis. Wow.
All at the same time.
Right. All collegiate basketball.
Yeah.
So listen.
Yeah, we getting all kind of airtime on ESPN right now.
Absolutely. So
and
listen.
They're showing the background of the Bahamas. They're showing the hotels that these fellas stayed in.
Yeah.
They're showing the courts and the setup and how they turned the ballroom into, you know, essentially a gym.
Right. Into a qualified, like a standard
mm-hmm.
court.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things we need to be able to do. Multitask, multifunction, right?
At all times, we're doing it.
Man, this is great. I am so excited about the sports stories. Listen, Roy Wallace wins the men's title in the Bahamas Table Tennis Federation's National Championships on Saturday.
Where they play it?
They played at AF Adley Gymnasium. I want to apologize for not getting to this story on Friday so more people could have gone out to the gym and watched the ping pong. But more importantly, let me make this point. The Republic of China, the People's Republic of China, a part of their 25th year in the Bahamas, the embassy's 25th year in the Bahamas, they donated tables to the Federation to be used in the various schools. Right, to continue teaching.
In schools, wow. We didn't have table tennis in school.
Tennis. And so Jeffrey McPhee, who's the president of the BTTF, shared that with us in an article in the Tribune. This is great. Let me tell you why this is great. You just see table tennis, right? You know what I see? There's a sport called tech ball that I mentioned that the professional footballers play, where they play football on a ping pong table. That's why we need these ping pong tables. We taking our children up. We taking them out. We taking them into the world. We taking them to sports they never thought they would play before.
Football table tennis with your feet, not bad.
But this is what here's what I'm saying. How could they have an underwater torpedo league, which is like underwater polo with a device that will propel itself through the water? How they could be playing that and don't have the Bahamas national spear fishing team on that?
Already on there. Yeah, these fellas know what it is to go underwater. Stay there.
Right, they know what it is to wrestle with a shark underwater. I'm just saying, Ministry of Sports, right? I need you to put together a two-man team whose job it is to go out there and figure out what sports we should be participating in and what sports we could invite to the Bahamas so we could take advantage of on a larger
level. Yeah, we got plenty of water. Plenty of water.
Now, there's a story I'm looking for here. Providence Storm win basketball tournament on Eleuthera. I'm glad to close out the show with this story, Mr. Sawyer. The highlight of National Sports Month has been the Hall of Fame inductions, but capping off the festivities was a basketball jamboree on the island of Eleuthera. Dear Nassuvians, these family island people don't need us to do anything, but if we support them, anything they do will be
even better.
Right? And why this story is so good. It was a 2-day tournament held in Lower Bogue, North Eleuthera. First of all, I love that about the family islands. You don't know where you is? You in Lower Bogue, North Eleuthera. You could get lost right here in the settlement.
Yeah, you in an Upper Bogue.
Right? And so it was a junior and senior boys tournament organized by Loving Basketball Organization.
And that's great, man.
Number of teams from Eleuthera as well as the Providence Storm juniors and seniors. And guess what? The lead organizer, Ian Bethel, said he's preparing the teams to travel to the Bring Back the Glory Boys and Girls Amateur Athletic Union basketball tournament set for June 2023 in Port Arthur, Texas. It's all about getting our young basketball players more opportunities. And why I read that tagline is because doing these stories, what I realize is that coaches are organizing trips. They're taking their teams all over. The boxing guys going to Guyana. The track team.
The only way you can get experience is to experience it.
Right, right. And so, in fact, somebody stopped me the other day. Her son is playing, and he is raising the funds himself to ensure that he could travel with his team and to support his team. So we need a mechanism that the teams can plug into and say, hey, we qualified.
Yeah.
Here are the credentials from the organizing body. We are an official entrant in this event. There should be a minimum support base there. Because across the discipline, swimming, I'm not sure about water polo, swimming, the triathletes, the pot cake man them, all of these guys are taking their student and young athletes out, but they need our support. You can't just let them flounder at the national level. We got to get in at the root and begin supporting them then and begin a culture of fundraising, right? Not cookout,
that's
not raffle.
Need, man. That fundraising, man. You know, like the team really just needs to go to radio stations and whatnot, and, you know?
Mm-hmm. Income-generating mechanisms to support, not charity, not cookouts.
Yeah, just literally, like that's something that we do as a nation.
Right. So when we were talking about turning car wash gig into an industry, right? If we had an industry, then any sporting team that needed to raise money would know that, look, we go into the car wash people, they're going to assign us a week of jobs so that we could raise money for our team. We're working, we're supporting a business, right? That's the level of organizing I'm thinking about. Anyway, Mr. Sawyer, we're all out of time.
Oh, man.
Football or football?
Football. NFL football.
I got to say...
It is here to stay.
I got to say football. Football.
Soccer.
Soccer football.
Soccer football. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
It's the thing that drives the world. Everywhere, you tune into any city, any country who has a team playing?
Yeah, like the world's stopping right now.
Right. In fact, Saudi Arabia declared a national holiday the day after Saudi Arabia beat Argentina.
Boom.
That's like West
Indies.
That's like
starting new holidays.
That's like West Indies beating England in world cricket.
Yeah, which happens in the juniors. It don't happen senior wise.
Oh, Mr. Sawyer, he kicking the music. Turn it up, producer. I couldn't hear it. Turn it up. We got to go.
All right.
That's what that means. We all out of time.
Have a good weekend.
I enjoyed rowing with you today, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. I see you next week. We could row again. You guys have a great day. C.A. Newry. Guardian Radio AM is up next. Have a great weekend. Remember, today is Women's Day. Tomorrow is 60th anniversary of women's suffrage in the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I get to really row. Y'all have a great day.